One of the things that happens is people's experiences do not match up with Scripture when we look out among people. We hear the Bible says we're sinners and that we sin. But then we go out among people and they're not all murderers. They're not all packing a gun. They're not all just acting ugly and mean and terrible. And so whether we realize it or not, I think our minds hear the Scripture, but our experience says, well, it's not that bad. Now, we know it is, but then when we meet people and meet different folks and we say, well, you know, they're not that bad. I know they have a couple of bad habits, but after all, they're not too bad, but that's what it looks like. And so we don't really face up to the issue of the lostness of humanity. When I first began the ministry, I preached in churches, and in one way it was amusing. I just simply preached the gospel, and they acted like they'd never heard it in their life. They were just shocked. But I didn't preach it in a way that they'd been accustomed to. I talked about the lostness and the sinfulness of humanity and that real need to be saved. And you and I need to really come to grips with the lostness of the world. No matter what it looks like, no matter what people appear to be, they are trapped. They're trapped in their own sinfulness and they're trapped in God's world. No matter what the world may teach, no matter what they may come up with, people are still trapped in God's word. They're still trapped in His world. One, they're trapped in the fact that no matter how much they may try to do away with their conscience, God's written in their heart a sense of right and wrong. And they know they're violating it. People find all sorts of ways, but they're trapped. And lostness, you need to look at as being trapped. We're not as bad as, quote, sin sounds. You know, people are good in one sense as you observe them, but there is something more deeper. There is a lostness. And I want you to look again in Romans 1 and verse 18. We're going to look through the first three chapters. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He says that mankind, in describing sinfulness, has two basic ways he expresses it. Ungodliness is disrespect for God, not respecting God for who He is, not giving Him the time of day or anything of that nature. And unrighteousness has to do with our treatment and the way we act towards one another. And then I want you to notice something else. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He says that they have the knowledge of human creation, but they simply suppress it and will not accept it. So what is their solution? Well, turn over, if you will, in chapter 1 and verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, they developed their own religion. Religion is universal. They tell us when they do surveys that 90% of Americans believe in God. That's not surprising. They're part of God's world, and therefore, but they don't believe in the one true God as represented through the Lord Jesus Christ and His way, but they have their own religion. The Old Testament was nothing but everybody had their religion and their idolatry, and they built temples, the city, every temple. You can go to Athens now and you can see all the temples and all the gods that they made up. That's just the effect of sinfulness. When you see people and say, well, they're religious. Well, you need to ask, are they religious in knowing God the Father through the Son and the indwelling Holy Spirit, or do they have just some sort of idea they've made up about God? The fact that people are religious is proof the Scripture is true. It is not proof that man has found God. It is proof that he's hiding from God because he's made up his own kind of religion. He's made up his own belief system. How many times do I hear someone say, well, I don't believe a God would, and then they say something that the scripture does not say? In other words, they've just made up their own ideas. Because notice what he says in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their imaginations refers to their thinking process. Their thinking process. I'm telling you, there's so much gobbledygook out there, I don't know what to do with it. Just the religious ideas that people have. But not a simple idea of Christ and the simplicity of Christ. And that is evidence of man's sinfulness. He is trapped within his sinfulness, but he does not want to come to God. So he makes up his own ideas, and therefore you have many, many religious people who believe in God. How many of you heard all the politicians, the corrupt ones, the decent ones, all say, hey, I raise my hand, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. On and on and on they go. That's proof of the sinfulness of man. They don't believe in the God. They believe in a God they've made up. Now, look in chapter 2. Chapter 2 describes the moral man. He says in verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You know, he's describing, we've talked before about the good person who looks back at all the sinful people that we didn't read in chapter 1. I mean, just terrible wickedness. And he looks and said, boy, I tell you, them some sorry folks. But I'm not. I'm not. And he says, but the truth is, you do some of the same things, if not in your heart. You condemn yourself. And what do they think? Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? What do most good people think? I'm okay. I'm never going to face God's judgment. Well, have you yielded your life and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as him alone? No, but I'm a good person. I do a good job. That's just what Scripture says they will do. First, they make up their own religion if they tend to great immorality. And secondly, if they have a certain goodness in them and they've not grown that way, they simply make up the fact that they're okay and nothing's going to happen to them. You go ask a good person who's never trusted in Christ and say, are you going to hell? And they say, no, not me. Not me. Now, other people will, but not me. And that's proof of what the Scripture says. That's, they're trapped within their sinfulness. Their sinfulness will not allow them to confess their sinfulness. They have to make up something to avoid that issue. Chapter 2. Look, if you will, in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law of, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the religious Jew. He has his religion. And in his religion, he has certain ideas in which he thinks he's the one qualified to instruct everyone else who don't follow his religion. There are many religions in the world. There are many people who are religious. And if you talk to them, they have all sorts of ideas. And if they tend to be very religious, they put themselves on a platform in which they're able to instruct everyone else that you're not following the religion I have. And so there are three folks who are trapped within their sinfulness. They cannot get out of it on their own. And rather than own up to it, they either make up an idolatrous religion, they either justify themselves as being good, or they either have a very strict religion that condemns others who don't follow the particulars of my religion. I don't know whether you know this or not, but we are awfully judgmental people. Not necessarily us, but people are very judgmental. Very judgmental of others. You know, sometimes people can judge us and say we're out of touch because we don't sing the right hymns, and vice versa, we say blah, blah, blah. People got all kinds of judgments that they make. And there's a certain religion. But true religion is more humble in recognition of God. And people are trapped. They're trapped in their sinfulness. Years ago, you probably remember me telling you, when Mother lived at Jefferson Place, they had a very small elevator. And so we came down from the fourth floor, and as we got about down between the second and first, the thing went, it stopped. Now, it was not a very big elevator. Basically, it was only enough room for me and my mother. Well, I forgot my mother. Who cares about you, Mother? I'm pushing the button. I want out. I want out. I mean, I was trapped. And I was pushing that button, and they were right out there and said, we hear you. We hear you. Well, open the door. Open the door. And, of course, my mother, you know, then had all this. Forget her. I'm not even thinking about my mother. All I'm thinking about, I got to get out of this elevator. And so when she finally opened the door, we were halfway between. And the moment she opened the door, I leaped out. And when I got out, I realized, oh, yeah, I forgot Mother. I'll help you. She was already helping Mother down, you know. I felt trapped. And there was no way I was getting out unless somebody helped me. Well, that's what happens when you get saved. You realize you're trapped. Now, I want you to turn to chapter 3. And I want you to notice one of the ways that people are trapped. And this is what you can see if you want to see it. Chapter 3, verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. He summarizes the sinfulness of humanity, and he shows how they try to hide from God. They invent their own religion, they say how good I am, or they have a very precise religion like the Jews. You know, we do this and we do that. Remember the Pharisees? Oh, we're going to crucify Jesus, but we're not going to go into the temple on the Sabbath because that would violate our rules. Everybody has those kind of self-righteousness to some degree, and that's the truth of sin. People are not willing to come to God, but all can see two things. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Now, some problems in life are not our fault. Some problems in life are simply because we live in a fallen world and we will not experience the full blessing of God's glory until heaven. And there are some things in life, sickness and death and suffering and problems, that we will never be able to explain. It's not the individual. It's just something in life. All of us have faced things in our life. Job in the Old Testament faced some of the most suffering that anybody could face in life. But he learned that he didn't find the full answer. God simply said, I'm God. And God never really explained it to Job, but he simply let him know, but as the friend said, it's because of your personal sin. No, there is just suffering in this life. But there are some things that sin brings. These things, destruction and misery, are in their ways. You know, a lot of problems sometimes is just caused by the sinfulness of people. People have this sinfulness in their heart that says, I want my way. And so they want their way. And then they bump up against somebody who wants their way. And next thing you know, you got conflict and problems. And then before you know it, you'll have gossip and complaining and backbiting and hard feelings and on you go. And you know what? Destruction. It's like when you watch the path of sinners, you can observe that destruction and misery is what is in their ways. It just is, they're just a problem that is caused a lot of time by their own sinfulness. I mean, think of the homes where mom and daddy don't love one another. Think of the children who are not willing to obey mom and daddy, who want to do their thing, want to do it their way. And you could go on and on once you understand sin. Think of the sinfulness of the human heart. And what you can, you know what you see out here? I know none of you see it, but do y'all see any destruction and misery out there a little bit? Well, that's because of sinfulness. Now, let's be very careful. Every problem that comes our way and every problem and every suffering is not because of that. But there are some things when you look out at among lost humanity, they need a brain transplant. They are totally stupid in the way they live. And we look and say, well, you know, they're they're okay. I mean, they got nine things right. And I know they get drunk on the weekend. But after all, you know, no one's perfect. But you look around and see the fruit of their lives. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Do not think that people who are trapped in their own sinfulness do not bring some of the suffering upon themselves. Now, once again, I want to balance that. Just because you and I go through suffering, we must be careful. I'm talking primarily about the unsaved and the way they live and the life they live and the conduct they have. Have you ever, we're not going to call names, but don't you just know sometimes people, they just bring problems wherever they are? They're just so sinful in their reactions to life and conflict that they just bring problems wherever they are. Destruction and misery are in their ways. They're trapped in their own pride and self-righteousness and bitter and anger and hard feelings and jealousy and envy and I want my way, and all that produces destruction and misery in people's lives. But there's a second thing. Notice what he said. Verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. Two things you can see. Sin brings problems. Do you know that? Sin brings problems. Not every problem that comes is because of our sin. But if you observe breakdown in human relationships and hard feelings and all that, that's because of sin. But there's something else inside of the unsaved. They don't have peace. They're not content. They're not happy in their life. And so sin says, well, let's get more stuff. That stuff will make me happy. Or, you know, I don't like this relationship. Let's go find another relationship. That will make me happy. Well, I don't like this person. Well, I'll go find another person. Or I'll go find another situation. And they're just constantly lunging for happiness. You know why? Because they're trapped in their sinfulness. The way of peace they don't know. You see, for us Christians, we have turmoil at times. And we have problems at times. And they affect us. We're human. That's understandable. But inside of us, there's a peace. If I drew my last breath tonight, you know where I'm going? Heaven. All is well between God and I. And if I goof up somewhere and, you know, act a little way I shouldn't, oh, I can find forgiveness and cleansing by confessing it, just like that. There's just a peace. My life is in His hands. I don't understand these circumstances. I don't understand what's going on. But I know my God is working all things to good. They may upset me. They may bother me. You know, I may boo-hoo some, but there's a peace inside that the world doesn't know. Do you know any unhappy people? Now, by unhappy, I don't mean when they got a bottle in their mouth. You ever been to a place where people are getting drunk and carrying on? They look awfully happy, but they're only happy because they got the bottle inside of them. That's the only reason they're happy. Or they got the drugs inside of them. People go, my goodness, we have a drug epidemic in our country. People using drugs right and left. Wonder why that is. Because the world has abandoned God's way and tried to invent their own way, their own kind of ideas, their own kind of religion. And what they don't realize, people are trapped within themselves. And if they don't at least find the Savior or at least find something close to that, they're never going to know peace. They're never going to be happy. The great man Solomon, who had it all in Ecclesiastes, said, well, I tried pleasure and I tried riches and I tried good works and I finally discovered none of that makes me happy. Listen, the way of peace have they not known. So let me tell you something. You and I, rather than condemning the unsaved, or rather than you and I condemning our fellow Christians and one another, we ought to get on our knees and when we pray for one another, say, Lord, if they're not saved, I know your word is true. They're trapped. Now, I see them good. They're good people, they're nice people, but they're trapped within their sinfulness. And they don't know deep in their heart peace. And they don't know the freedom from a lot of destruction and misery because of the way they live. And I pray they find the Savior. Or maybe there's some Christians who are trying it another way. You see, no matter what people do, God's word is true. And when we say we're sinners, we don't mean that everybody is just as rotten and sorry and scummy as they can be. That's not what we mean. We mean that sin has infected them. And some don't yield to the full expression. Some do good things. Some become religious, but many of them do not bow their knee to the cross and trust in Christ and say, you are my Savior, and you're the one I trust in, and you're the life that I have. They find other ways. They find other ways. And they're trapped. You can educate. I'm telling you, if the government said today, we are going to let 1% of Americans who know how to make money, we're going to let them make all the money in America. We're going to tax them, and we're going to give it to the rest of us. That'd be kind of good, you know. The only requirement is you do have to do a public works job for one day out of 6 months. After that, you get it all. Do you know people would not be happy? You know, they've done a study. I've told you this before. They've done a study that many people have won the lottery and won millions are some of the most unhappiest people in the world. Some of the most happiest people in the world are people who've been through tragedies and God who has changed their life and molded them and made them. And even though they suffer, like Joni Erickson, you can see in her life peace and happiness. Why? She found God's way. So you and I need to be compassionate to those around us. They are trapped. If you saw someone trapped in the elevator and you heard them ringing the bell, I hope you'd help me out if it was me. Well, folks, when you walk around people, they're trapped. And we need to pray for them. What they need is Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. And we thank you that we're not trapped. We found the Savior. We don't know it all. We don't experience a wonderful day every day. Sometimes life is difficulty, but Lord, you are good to us. We're on your team. You're on our team. We've been saved. Our sins are forgiven. If we do wrong, we can confess and we're cleansed and made whole. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we have a future home in heaven. And we have the promise that you work all things to our good. And You're at work in each and every circumstance of life, so we thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, help us to realize people are trapped. They may have a smile on their face, but they probably replaced it with something that gave them that smile, and that smile didn't come from Jesus. It came from something else. Lord, many young people are trying to find a way, but they're not happy. And that's because they haven't followed your plan and your ways. And we thank you for those who do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.